Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The role of public employees in the finances of our state and local governments is at the heart of State Issue 2, which, if approved, would retain Senate Bill 5 as state law. If State Issue 2 fails at the polls on November 8th, Senate Bill 5 would be repealed. This hour, we're looking at State Issue 2 with two former big city mayors. Dana Buckhinehart is the former two-term mayor of the city of Columbus and the former two-term treasurer of Franklin County. He is now a partner in Reinhart, Rischel, and Cuckler. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also with us, Carlton Cardi Finkbeiner. He is the former three-term mayor of Toledo. He also served on the Toledo-Lucas County Port Authority Board. Welcome to the show, Cardi Finkbeiner.
I'd like to be a part of it. Thank you very much. Hi, Buck.
Hi, Cardi. How you doing?
Good to hear your voice on the other end of the line.
It's good to hear yours.
We're going to cover a lot of territory in an hour, listeners. So if you call or email us or comment on Facebook, please let us know if you're for or against Issue 2 and tell us specifically what you want to talk about. And thank you. You can call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. As I mentioned, you can go onto our Facebook page, All Sides with Ann Fisher, or you can tweet us at Ann Fisher, WOSU. So, Cardi Finkbeiner, in general, why do you oppose Issue 2?
I was running for Toledo City Council in 1979, and for the first time. And basically in the summer of 79, because our city administration at the time and our bargaining units in Toledo could not come to an agreement. Our city actually went up in flames. We had fires. I think you probably recall that. We had fires. We had a ton of not just mental discontent, but physical damage. And it all came about because there was no mechanism in place to for the city administration and the bargaining units to work out their differences of opinion. When that election came to a conclusion in November of 79, a very astute gentleman who became known across the state not long thereafter, one Andrew Andy Douglas, ended up being a Supreme Court justice, but at the time was being reelected to Toledo City Council.
Right.
He and others around the state said there has to be a better way for our bargaining units and city administrations to work things out. And as a result, the collective bargaining agreement came into place across the state of Ohio in 1984, and we haven't had a replay of 1979 ever since.
Buck Reinhart, why is Issue 2 important? Why should voters vote for Issue 2 on November 8th?
Well, and I think there are several reasons, but the big thing is that the whole package levels the playing field. The status quo we can't afford. We've already proven that. But it levels the playing field and stops the status quo. If we can't afford to pay what we're currently paying, then we have to provide the tools at the local level for locally elected officials to change their historic pattern of doing business.
My guests, former Columbus Mayor Buck Reinhart and former Toledo Mayor Cardi Finkbeiner. If you have a question or comment, want to join the conversation, once again, let us know if you're for or against Issue 2 when you call or email, or check us out on Facebook. If you want to email us, allsides@wosu.org, and you can call us at 614-292-8513.
And can we follow up to each other, or do you wish not to do that?
Well, I think that we can get to it at the different topics, you know, via the different topics.
All
Issue
right.
2 would ban strikes by public workers in Ohio. And you talked about that earlier, Cardi Finkbeiner. Wouldn't that be good? Because it would avert government shutdowns due to strikes. Kids wouldn't miss schools. Fire, you know, houses wouldn't burn down, as you mentioned earlier. Why not ban strikes?
We do not have strikes, Ann. We have not had that circumstance since collective bargaining was put in place in 1984. And I might add, I respectfully disagree with Buck, because there are the tools in the kit that were put in place in 1984, and you just have the courage to use them. As recently as 2009, when I had the same kind of difficulty, and incidentally, we all know this all began when Wall Street caved in 2008. And at that time, there wasn't any politician in America, not Kasich, not any one politician, who said, this is the responsibility of policemen and firemen and teachers and nurses. Now, 2 years later, all of a sudden they want to shift the blame from the people who caused it, the Wall Street bankers, Freddie and,
okay.
and Fannie in Washington, upon the little
okay.
guy.
Okay, but Cardi Finkbeiner,
no strike since 1984.
But there have been teachers. There have been teacher strikes.
There haven't been in Toledo.
Okay.
There have not been any in Toledo. We had them prior to that. We had a couple in the early 70s. I was with the DFT head, Dal Lawrence, at the time. Yeah, we did have one in 70, and I believe in 1978. We have not had any in Toledo since this collective bargaining okay. was put in place in 84.
But, Greiner, how do you respond to that?
Well, I can't speak about Toledo.
Right.
I can only talk about Central Ohio, obviously. This bill, this issue, has many working parts to it.
Right.
And what Cardi's referring to is one of the parts. But the whole thing provides a basket of tools for local government officials to use to cut the costs of the bulk of their expenses, which is employees, and levels the playing field. Now, you know, I've heard all this, we've all heard all this rap and specific instances and all that. Let me just give you an example that I witnessed in 1985 of what happened here with respect to firefighters. 1985, we wanted to hire about 200 more firefighters. So we give a civil service exam, and that civil service exam has up till 85 and thereafter been conducted at the fairgrounds. So the safety director asked if I would come out and welcome all the people who were going to take this test. I said, sure. So I was scheduled to be out there around 8:30 and never arrived, never got there, Ann, because there were over 10,000 people crammed onto the freeway trying to get off at 17th Avenue to take that test for 200 jobs. Now, that told me a lot. These people came from states, Indiana, West Virginia, Michigan, came from everywhere. Because why? They're great jobs. They're outstanding jobs. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have potential danger to them. But when 10,000 people show up to take a test for we're going to hire 200, that delivered a big message to me. And part of the message was, let's take a look at what we're paying them, how they're being paid, what benefits they have. And I was just amazed.
When 10,000 people to show up, that means you have the pick of the litter. You can pick whatever you want. That means if you have good-paying jobs that also have danger associated with them, serious danger associated with them, as we know all too sadly, and you can attract people from that many states. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, it's a great thing.
At a high level of skill required in these jobs,
where at the end of 10 years,
the average fireman is making $56,000 in Toledo after 10 years on the job when he puts his life on the line every day. So, to me, that's a very fair wage.
Okay. But, Greiner, then let me explain. Are you saying that they were paid too much?
No, I'm not saying they're paid too much, because we could afford it in 1985. Today, you can't afford it. We still have to hire firefighters, police officers, but asking them to pay a portion of their health insurance or pay a portion of their retirement, I just think in this day and age makes sense.
Don't they already pay a portion of their health insurance and retirement?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
You're saying set a certain level of participation in that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Issue two, Buck Reinhart would put an end to binding arbitration for police and firefighters. Given that they put their lives on the line for the rest of us, should firefighters and police officers be forced to rely on elected public officials who aren't necessarily well-versed in such negotiations to be the final arbiter?
Okay, look, that's a section of the book, of the bill that I disagree with. Okay, binding arbitration. I think that is a good, necessary thing. But there are so many parts of that bill that I totally agree with that I'm not going to...
Okay, we have a lot of other stuff we're going to get to.
Sure.
Cardi Finkbeiner, do you want to comment on that issue?
I totally disagree with it. And I would say when you put a 300-page bill together, that bill probably has a few things that I would agree with. It has a significant number that I disagree with, but the basic philosophy of it is wrong. It basically degrades the quality of the professionalism required of a competent, dedicated policeman, fireman, teacher, or nurse. It puts the heel of someone's shoe on their throat and treats them with a disrespect that will lead in the years ahead, if this should pass, to the same type of I would say, confrontational, non-professionalism that we had before 1984. And I'll close this by saying one of Buck's successors, Michael Coleman, has said, quote, "I get tired of certain people putting their feet on the neck of public employees. Now, in Columbus, collective bargaining work. We've actually saved $144 million through collective bargaining process."
All right. Now, if you both said that there are parts you do agree with and you parts you don't agree with, we invited Buck Reinhart on the show because, by and large, you agree with issue two. And Cardi Finkbeiner, by and large, opposes issue two. However, would you prefer, Buck Reinhart, that the components of this law had been broken down and dealt with in more of a piecemeal fashion in the Ohio General Assembly?
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Well, because if it doesn't pass, in all likelihood, it will be come back in piecemeal fashion.
It's going to come back. If it doesn't pass, and the polls indicate that, it'll be right back on the table.
And will you, and so would you have, in retrospect, have preferred it that way in the first place?
Well, it doesn't matter what I prefer. And because I'm not a member of the General Assembly, and I never have been, I'm looking at it from the vantage point of not just a big city mayor, but mayors of a lot of the medium-sized cities in Central Ohio, where they don't have the tools in their hands to do what they sometimes have to do. In Lancaster, the way they responded to this a couple weeks ago is they laid off 13 firefighters.
Right, out of...
And that was... That's sad. Each firefighter's got a family, got a mortgage, got a car to pay for, kids to raise. I'm not sure that is the best resolution of their financial problems in Lancaster. I'm not trying to look over the mayor's shoulder here. But if that's the only alternative, if that's the only tool in the toolbox, then we've tied his hands.
And there are tools. And my good friend Buck, who's a lawyer, knows this as well as I do. There is a term, exigent circumstances.
Oh.
I introduced it in 2008 or early 2009 when we had to balance our budget.
And what happened with that?
And it actually, in my judgment, brought the bargaining units and the city of Toledo sit down at the table and be very, very serious about that task, which we had to perform. And in the process of that task during 2008 or 2009, I asked all of my directors, what can we afford to do? And at the time, they were debating stimulus money in Washington, D.C. And one of the options presented by those various directors was from my police chief, who said, for a period of 90 to 120 days, I can put on the streets police officers that are presently at desks. And I had to lay off 75 police officers from 75 to basically 120 days. I didn't like doing it.
But you're saying that the tool there was, it was a short-term solution.
Exactly.
Okay.
And guess what? During that period of time, the Toledo Police Patrolmen's Association and I sat down together, and we bargained, and we bargained successfully, and we signed an agreement within a matter of weeks. So, yes, there are tools in the kit that work, and you have to have the guts to step up and use them. But they are there, and my friend Buck knows that.
We have to take a break. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with former Columbus Mayor Buck Reinhart and former Toledo Mayor Cardi Finkbeiner. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and you can listen to our station anytime by streaming on the web. Just visit WOSU.org and click on the Listen Now button at the top of the page. Listen to local and national news from your computer or mobile device. Just visit WOSU.org.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from Home Instead Senior Care, helping families eliminate worry, reduce stress, and reestablish personal freedom. More at 1-800-4-SENIORS. Home Instead. To us, it's personal.
44 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today and warming up to a high of 66 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight and a low of 44. There's a slight chance of rain on Thursday, otherwise partly sunny in the afternoon and a high of 58. And a chance of rain Thursday night, cloudy skies and a low of 42. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about State Issue 2 with former Columbus Mayor Buck Reinhart. Buck Reinhart, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also, former Toledo Mayor Cardi Finkbeiner. Cardi Finkbeiner, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. Pleasure to be with you.
I'm going to take a call now. Jane is on the air. Jane is a retired teacher. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Hi. One of the things I am... disagree with is the supporters of Issue 2 frequently say they don't want their tax money going to support the unions, whether it's a fireman or a policeman or teacher. Well, once the teacher, the fireman, or the policeman work for that money, it is their money. They can say, but it's not their money. It's the teacher's money. It's the fireman's money.
Are you saying that's like me saying that when I buy Chiquita bananas, I don't want the revenue from my Chiquita banana purchase going to to support a politician? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or General Electric or Meijer,
but it's
saying
Chiquita.
Their employees can't buy this or can't support that.
Buck Reinhart, do you want to respond to that?
Well, the first thing I would ask is, what do the teachers have a choice? No, they don't.
It doesn't matter if they have a choice.
No, they have no choice. They have no choice, ma'am.
But what you're saying is, Jane, when they take the money out of your paycheck for your union dues, you don't.
It doesn't matter if they take that money out for steaks.
I know it, but you can't choose whether they take the money out or not.
No.
Oh, yes, you can. You can choose to not be in the union. They have to take minimum out to cover your
benefits.
Right.
Okay.
They can elect fee-payer status, correct?
No.
And they can elect fee what is called fee-payer status.
It doesn't matter whether they choose or not to choose. The money is theirs once they earn it. And it's not fair to say the taxpayers to say, I'm not going to vote for issue two because I don't want my taxpayer money going to the unions. Well, it's not their taxpayer money anymore. It is the people that earn the money. They worked for it.
Okay. Buck Reinhart?
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, you don't have a choice. You will belong to the FOP if you're a police officer. You will belong to the firefighters union if you're a firefighter. You will belong to the union if you're covered by CEA, Columbus Education Association. You don't have any choice. It's not like an open shop.
That's
you can go in there. You can go in there and say, "No, I'm not going
to." You're not speaking to my point.
I'm not going to.
Well, I think I am, ma'am.
I don't think they have a choice. These employees don't have any choice at all. They will pay union dues. Now, how the union uses it and all that kind of stuff, and whether they're happy or they're sad about the dues are coming out.
Is it the same thing, though? Let's say Jane supports what the union's is doing. She wants them to spend the money.
Then she can give it.
But then that criticism that people don't want to spend their tax money on unions.
Well, I didn't bring that up.
Right. I know you didn't. We did. That's been a criticism of the way things work. So
you don't have any choice.
It's
you belong
this choice
to the
issue.
Union.
Okay. Thank you, Jane, for that call. 614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call, make sure you tell the screener whether you're for or against Issue 2. Issue 2 would limit bargaining. It would limit payments for health insurance, or it would require certain minimum payments for health insurance. Why shouldn't public workers pay a fair percentage of their health care premium? Why shouldn't it be on the same standard that private workers do? A lot of them pay 20% and more than 20% for their health insurance, Cardi Finkbeiner. Why shouldn't public workers pay a lot of people see as a fairer percentage?
They do. More than 95% of Ohio's public employees and on average pay 16.9% of the premium for individual health care and about 17.8% for family.
But the local governments, local smaller municipalities, townships, those kind of places don't. And wouldn't that give them a better tool in their toolkit if they could require more participation from their workers?
I happen to believe, though I'm a Democrat and a proud one now, I can tell you that if you're talking about small communities, I hear more from small communities how they do not want federal or state government telling them how to conduct themselves. I trust that they know what they're talking about. Now, I represented a 300,000-plus citizen community, and I consider that to be a medium-sized community. But everywhere I go, when you run into the townships and you run into the small villages, as well as the small cities, their largest single complaint is federal and state government interference. You cannot have it both ways. You either must give them what they want, the right to make their own choices, or you're going to give them another reason to be angry with the federal government or the state government, in this case, state government, for interfering. I think this one, if you have leadership that is competent and knowledgeable, both in management and in labor at the local level, the tools are in place and have been in place since 1984.
No. Okay, Buck Reinhart, what do you want to respond?
Yeah, the tools are not in place, respectfully, Cardi. You have no choice but to belong to a union in the professions that we're talking about. That means you have no choice, but that's going to be withdrawn from your paycheck. Secondly, you're not required to pay 100% of your health insurance, not even close, or your retirement, not even close. A person today can work for 20 years and at 48 years old retire full benefits and live happily ever after on the taxpayer's dime. All we're saying is let's share in this. Let's not put the whole load on the employee, but let's at least share. How about a 50-50 share? How about if a mayor in a small town or even in a big city like Columbus, which has over a million people in it, sees this financial pressure and has an additional tool or tools to sit down and try and figure it out without laying everybody off or laying off, like I did in Lancaster a couple weeks ago, 13 firefighters. That mayor had no choice. He doesn't have the money to pay him. He can't say, hey, how about taking a pay cut? He's got to pay that benefit. He's got to pay the health insurance. He's got to pay the whole nine yards. No wonder we had 10,000 people in 1985 trying to become a Columbus firefighter.
Most public employees already pay over 15% for their health care benefit. The smaller it tends to be smaller political subdivisions that do not.
That's
they,
right.
They often say that's because they can't afford the hard, cold cash of a wage increase, but they can sometimes marginally improve their benefit that they give them for health care. In other words, it's something that they can juggle.
Yeah, I got it. They have flexibility at the smaller level, greater flexibility. And all we're saying is untie the hands of these local government leaders. Give them broad responsibility. Look, if they do a lousy job, voters can throw them out. It's almost instant recall. You're out the door, man. So if you get into a bind where you and I both know that 80% of all revenue that comes into the general fund in most cities goes to salaries, you get into a financial pinch and you got to make some cuts or reductions or ask the firefighters or the police officers to pick up another percentage of their retirement and health benefits, leveling the playing field with all the other professions out there. I think that's just common sense.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guests, two former Ohio mayors, Cardi Finkbeiner of Toledo and Buck Reinhart of Columbus. We're talking about issue two. We were just talking about the component in issue two that would require certain levels of worker payments for health insurance. There's also a component that addresses pensions. We have two callers, one's for and one is against issue two, that want to address the issue of the pensions. Matt, you support issue two. You're calling from Toledo. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you.
You want to talk about...
I'm probably for issue two, because all issue two is asking for, simply asking for public employees to pay 10% of their pension at a maximum of 15% for their health care. That's all it's asking for.
So,
everyone else has been forced to sacrifice. I think that's just fair to ask public employees to pay a maximum of 15% for their health care.
And a minimum of 10%.
That's correct.
Okay.
And last contract the city of Toledo signed for, this is for Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we put a two-year wage freeze in place? Two, we had a 10% cut by virtue of eliminating 10% of the pickup for new hires. And lastly, we eliminated stipends that had been for policemen and firemen adding up to $1,000. We had a dire circumstance. We were able to make those adjustments and cuts. And I should remind Matt again that more than 95% of Ohio's public employees pay 17% of the premium for individual health care today, and 17.8%, almost 18% for their family, according to
the government report. So they wouldn't be affected by this.
They wouldn't be affected.
Then they wouldn't be affected by this, but it would give local government officials, as we have mentioned a couple times, it tends to be smaller government entities, more flexibility to do this, but it would also force them in a way, because it does set a minimum of what you have to contribute to your pension and also a maximum. And so in a way, it does tie their hands, Buck Reinhart.
It unties part of them.
Okay.
And ties part of them. You're right. There are floors. But let's back up for just a second. If you can't afford something, and this state can't afford it, you cut somewhere, or you increase taxes. Now, thank goodness, Governor Kasich submitted a balanced budget. Facing an $8 billion deficit, submitted a balanced budget. Well, now, look, what balanced it? Well, in part, Ann, what balanced it was the local government fund was greatly reduced.
As it has been over the past decade.
Yep. And so that, and for those that are listening, that's money that state collects and then turns around and gives it back to local governments.
It's a population is the function.
Population is the criteria for that, on how much, for the most part, how much they get. Well, that generally is money that goes into their general fund. So now their general fund is cut. Well, now they've got to do something. Well, you know, we're building a new casino in Columbus. That's really great for us, but that doesn't do anything for increasing the general fund portion for smaller governments across Central Ohio, across the state of Ohio. All Senate Bill 5 does, or Issue 2, is give them the tools to balance their budget without laying off people.
No, it takes away the rights of the unions to bargain as they have historically done in America. And I'm going to close this very succinctly.
I know. I wanted to hear from another caller, though, Cardi, who is against Issue 2.
I respect that.
Okay.
But it seems to me Buck is a good lawyer, and he's taking a vast majority of time here, and you're not giving me a chance to rebut the points that he's making. And I would appreciate it if I had that opportunity.
Tim, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd like to make a couple points. Number one, I am a member of the Firefighters Union here in Central Ohio. That's Local 2818. And I got hired on in 1992, and at that time we paid 100% of our employee pickup or our pension pickup and our health care costs. Since then, in lieu of pay raises, they gave us about 2% pay increase, or excuse me, 2% pension pickup every year in lieu of pay raises, and following the tail end of that, once the pension was picked up, they continued that practice with the health care benefits. Now, if Senate Bill 5, Issue 2, becomes law, then by taking that away, and you gotta understand that those increases in my net income were not pay raises. They were just picking up those portions of my benefits. You have to realize that those were not pay raises. Therefore, you don't get the compounding effect that you get when you get, let's say, 2% pay raise this year and then 2% pay raise next year.
And the point being, your retirement's based on that?
Well, the retirement's based on the average of the three highest years. And so in the long run, you know, those pay rate or those pension pickups and benefits pickups were given to try to bring us up to the average of the local area. And if Senate Bill 5 becomes law, then that takes all that away. I personally will lose about $1,000 every month in my income. My wife and our children, my wife is a teacher, she will lose roughly the same, and I don't know of any families who can sustain a $2,000 a month loss in income. That's just incredible.
Okay, and Tim, thanks for your call. Buck Reinhart?
Well, first of all, I greatly respect his chosen profession, and I greatly respect his wife's chosen profession. But everybody out there has got a share in the pain, and everybody isn't. The average Ohioan pays 100% of his or her health care benefits, and if they have something more than Social Security, they're paying that as well. And of course, they are paying Social Security as well. But to turn around now and say, look, guys, we don't want to lay anybody off in this township or in this village, but we can't afford to keep doing business the way we're doing it today. We can't afford it. And if you put some tax increase on the ballot, the people are going to vote it down because they're hurting.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Tim, for your calls. Cardi Finkbeiner, you want to respond?
I think it's sad that when the condition that we are in, which is called an international economic recession, and many people have written that are far wiser than I, that this recession has been brought about by a combination of government policy and Wall Street self-centeredness and rewards in the billions for the executives that brought it about, including Lehman Brothers, where Governor Kasich once worked. I think it's sad. I really do, Buck, that a former mayor who never said any of these things when he was the mayor of Columbus, to the best of my ability, now finds it very, very facile when he's in the private sector to blame this on men and women that on a daily basis we ask to rush into harm's way to protect us. And in the case of teachers and nurses, when we are at our most critical need right now, educating our young people and helping save lives and extending lives, that we are asking the citizens of the state of Ohio to support Governor Kasich's plan to balance his state budget on the backs of their very important individuals. It's wrong, and that's why it's behind. Even though we are in hard-pressed times, we are behind. But you are behind by 25 percentage points as we speak 1 week out from the election.
We're going to take a break.
Doesn't make sense.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue our conversation with Cardi Finkbeiner, former mayor of Toledo, and also Buck Reinhart, former mayor of Columbus. We'll get to the calls, as many as we can, and some emails. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
For as little as $60 per year, you can support 89.7 NPR News. With a basic membership, you receive the WOSU member card, good for discounts at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions. You'll also receive a complimentary one-year subscription to Newsweek magazine. And you will automatically receive our electronic airfare program guide and our e-newsletter. To support the programs you love, sign up for a basic membership today. Visit WOSU.org and click donate now.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Stay with All Sides with Ann Fisher in 20 minutes, beginning at 11 o'clock, a discussion of State Issue 3, which exempts Ohio residents from the national health care law, and also a discussion of State Issue 1 regarding judges. Those discussions of State Issue 3 and 1 begin at 11 o'clock on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Columbus College of Art and Design, offering continuing education courses to update your creative career skills. Information and online registration are available now at www.ccad.edu.
Sunshine today, a high of 66 degrees, partly cloudy tonight, and a low of 44. There's a slight chance of rain on Thursday, otherwise partly sunny and a high of 58. And sunshine looking ahead to Friday with a high of 54. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about Issue 2. It'll be on the ballot next Tuesday. Hope you're going to vote. The polls have shown that most voters are going to oppose Issue 2 next Tuesday, but it's still a hotly contested issue, and they're also talking about bringing it back piecemeal if it doesn't make it next week. So that's why we want to break down these issues, start the conversation. Issue 2 would limit who can join unions, make it easier to decertify unions. It would definitely affect the ranks of lower middle managers and lower middle management and ban them from belonging to unions. Isn't that just a way to weaken unions by the numbers and in terms of solidarity, you know, divide and conquer? And really, what does that have to do with state finances?
Okay. Well, you've asked several questions, but first of all, and it eliminates the requirement that they must belong to the union. That is gone. Now, guess who gets to make the choice? The individual employee himself or herself. They get to decide. And if 100% of them want to join a union, fine, 100% of them can join a union. But they don't have that choice right now.
Well, right now, unions have the power to negotiate in collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. And if they are putting that, if they're taking on that kind of responsibility and someone decides not to join a union yet, enjoys the benefits that they've negotiated for them, you oppose any kind of payment to the union for that work?
No, I say I'm totally supportive of the choice being the employee's decision. Let the employee decide whether he or she wants to join the union.
What about banning some workers from joining the unions? That doesn't give them a choice.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Certain workers are banned from joining unions in Senate Bill 5 and in Issue 2. Lower level management, that kind of thing.
Oh, the managers?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it doesn't give them a choice.
No, doesn't give them a choice. But, you know, they wanted to be a manager. They want to be a supervisor. So that's a choice that they get to make.
Cardi Finkbeiner, you want to respond?
And I think that the international economic challenges that are before every nation, as we well know these days, need to be worked out by the individual nations, and in our country, the individual cities and communities have the intelligence and know their own people. I don't think this is best directed, if you will, from Columbus, Ohio. I can only speak for Toledo, but and for 10 years I was a councilman, 2 years of that vice mayor, 12 years as mayor. That's a quarter of a century. I bargained very assertively and aggressively with all of my unions, as they well know. Probably got called a few names in the process. But you know what was happened at the end ever since 1984 when collective bargaining was put in place, Ann? We have shaken hands, and we have, for the next 2.5 years, worked together in behalf of the citizens of our community. Meanwhile, while those negotiations were going on, professional policemen and firefighters and teachers and nurses were performing their job at a very high level for a very moderate to middle-income wage and fringe benefit package. And we should allow that process to continue because local communities can deal with the temporary hardship of the international economy, just like I had to do when I was here in Toledo, Ohio, and had to lay off for about 90 to 120 days, 75 police officers. Right. They came back, and they did their job, and we got through it all, and I think we handled it very responsibly and respectfully, and we should continue to do so at the local level.
Okay, Cardi, that's a good speech. That's a good speech. But your current mayor supports Senate Bill 5. Your current mayor is a professional fireman. He supports it. He supports it when he's mayor, and for good reason, because it unties his hands. So I don't know Toledo politics, don't claim to, never will. But when your mayor, elected citywide in Toledo, supports Senate Bill 2, he's doing it for good reason. And I just hope and pray that the good pieces of this thing get picked up after
Bill,
the election.
Bill, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Great. Thank you very much. Quick comment and a question.
Okay. You're not sure. You're undecided or you're leaning toward?
I'm leaning for it, but here's my point. If it isn't perfect, it seems to me you ought to vote yes, because Governor Kasich did offer to make some changes, so take him up on it. But my real question is, if I'm not sure, most voters tend to vote no. But in this case, if the choice is between the employees and the stewards of tax dollars, it seems to me you ought to vote yes to give the power back to local officials. Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
Thanks a lot, Bill, for your call. I appreciate that. But public employees across the state of Ohio in the past couple years have already given up $1 billion in wages and benefits to help governments meet their payroll to help governments balance their budgets. Buck Reinhart, it's not as if they're not doing anything.
No one's saying they're. And I've never said they're not doing anything. What we're talking about is going forward. Are the local government officials going to have the tools to balance a budget without raising taxes and without laying off a lot of people? And right now they don't have those tools. And that I think that's the reason the current mayor of Toledo supports Senate Bill 5 or Issue 2. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why so many of them do across the state.
Cardi Finkbeiner?
I comment on this because I have a very concise answer. The Toledo Blade at the local level took a position in opposition to Mayor Bell and Governor Kasich, where they admitted there were things that need to be done, but they can, and I answer your caller's question. First things first, though, to get a better collective bargaining law, Ohioans must reject this bad one.
Why? Why? How would it?
You too.
Okay.
They just make it very clear that they think the governor went way overboard, that he probably does have a political agenda, and that is to do harm to the unions and in the state of Ohio, and that's a political agenda, not an economic agenda, and that we need to start over. And I would admit there are things that need to be done to improve it, but as the Blade said, and I quote, to get a better collective bargaining law, Ohioans must reject this bad one.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to some callers. Ahmed, in Columbus, you're on the air. You oppose Issue 2. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the education and the conversation. The thing is, what happened to teacher accountability? There's been talk about teachers' accountability. We have so many students leaving the Board of Education going to charter schools because we are not happy with the existing Board of Education. How is this going to affect? We're laying off good teachers, okay? We are keeping bad teachers. We don't have a choice, right?
That brings up an issue. Merit pay is a big, fundamental issue factor in Issue 2. Buck Reinhart, what are the benefits of merit pay? Do they address Ahmed's concerns?
Merit pay, merit pay is what the non-government employees of private companies, that's their only way. That's their only way to advance. Not the case when it comes to, as this gentleman just accurately pointed out, when it comes to teachers, merit has nothing to do with it. So what do voters do? What can they do? They go run to charter schools where they can get better teachers for their kids. And I think part of the blossoming of charter schools across the state has been the fact that the hands of the local government officials are tied when it comes to that. Tenure is the big thing.
Cardi Finkbeiner?
Ahmed, was that the caller's name?
Yes.
Ahmed, Issue 2 contains no objective criteria for defining performance or how to measure pay. Consequently, management will have the entire ability to simply use performance pay as a spoil system, rewarding its favorites.
Well, they're just going to set standards. They're going to set guidelines at the state level, Cardi Finkbeiner.
Guidelines at the state level, such as the Bush administration established for education, that was a whole lot of years ago now, and it doesn't seem to me that that has worked. There's a lot of critics that now say all of the jumping through hoops for test scores and so forth have taken away teachers' ability to really educate for the future of America. I'm not an expert on that, but I did teach for a while, Ann, and it doesn't seem to me that government is at its best when it's defining what, for the local community, should be the educational standards of its children.
How would you, and thank you, Ahmed, for that call. We appreciate it. How would you, Buck Reinhart, determine performance for a firefighter or a police officer who show up every day, they go out on their beat, or they show up at the fires, they do their job? How do you determine merit on that, because with teachers, you can look at student grades, ostensibly. That's not the only measure, but I mean, ostensibly, there are measurements.
Those standards can be established. We'd be here for the next week if I was going to outline the criteria for those standards. But they'll get put in place. And the question is, here's the issue. Can we afford to do business in the future as we have done it in the past? No, we can't. Now, if people want to bend over and pay a bunch more in taxes in this state, then we can continue to do business as we have in the past. Now we can't. And I don't think they're going to bend over and give a government another nickel. So they're saying to the government, look, you've got to change the way you do business. You can't do it the way you've done business when we were fat and happy. We're not fat and happy. We're skinny right now. So, you know, this adds the tools to allow the local government to respond to the taxpayers in that governmental jurisdiction and to do something progressive with their employees.
Issue two would allow outsourcing and minimum staffing. Proponents have said that they trust chiefs of police and fire chiefs to decide minimum staffing levels. Yeah. But if those levels aren't part of the contract, there's no guarantee that the request will be met. You can trust them all you want,
right.
But
there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. And if you don't like the way your politicians operate, vote them out. But at least give them the tools to operate and survive.
Cardi Finkbeiner?
My position is very simple. And the system that is, some would argue today, broken, it isn't broken. We have economies in various cities of the United States that are doing all right today. And in those cases, nobody's saying we need to deal differently with our policemen and firemen, teachers and nurses than we have been dealing with them. However, we are going through challenging times. And I had to experience it firsthand within the last 24 months. And I figured out how we could balance the budget of the city of Toledo. And we could not take away, and we would not take away the rights of our unions and those who work in the unions and disrespect them.
Okay.
This disrespects humongously men and women who are professionals, who are not overpaid. They're paid appropriately.
Okay.
They have made concessions, Ann, and you know it.
Okay, Cardi, I got to end it there. I got to tell you how much we appreciate you joining the conversation today. Cardi Finkbeiner, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ann.
And also, Buck Reinhart, former Columbus mayor, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you for an invitation, Ann.
And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.